Much of the attention slash column inches slash moral panic slash dinner table hilarity about recent developments in what Jennifer Walsh calls AI has been in the area of writing, the weird beard output you might get from putting just the right prompt into ChatGPT. But for one group of scholars, at least as interesting, are the reading capabilities of machine learning tools. One of that number is Jennifer Edmond, a professor based at TCD's Center for Digital Humanities. She specializes in the area of computational literary studies, a type of computer-aided research that leverages the machine's ability to read vastly more books in a vastly different fashion from humans. That's roughly it. Culturefile visited Professor Edmond in her office at Trinity's Long Room Hub to learn more, including how Thomas Aquinas helped give the field its start.
My name is Jennifer Edmond. I'm Associate Professor of Digital Humanities, and we're here in the Trinity Long Room Hub in Trinity College Dublin. I work in the field of digital humanities. It's a new interdisciplinary field where, in some cases, we take the affordances of technology and we use them to learn more about disciplines like literature and history. And in some cases, we actually turn that around and we use all the things we know about culture to learn more about technology. I actually did my PhD in German language and literature. And at that time, so I finished in the late 90s, we won't say exactly when I finished. This is when internet technology was just taking over. At the time, I was living in the US. That's where I was born and raised. And that allowed me, internet technology allowed me, if I was teaching German in a group, I could use today's news today rather than collecting newspapers in the summer. What then happened is I happened to fall in love with an Irishman and I emigrated to Ireland in the early 2000s. And at that point, I was facing a kind of a professional change. And I actually left academia for a while and I worked in technology. I worked kind of supporting people doing research, using technology in their research. And I became so fascinated with it that I actually ended up kind of working my way back into the research field and sort of becoming an expert sort of through the back door. It's not a path I can recommend anyone follow.
Yeah, it sort of explains why the English professor writes Python. I don't think all English professors write Python.
Oh, no, not all English professors write Python. But it is, again, increasingly, if those are the kinds of questions you're asking, it's a lot easier to write a bit of Python than to read all the books and highlight every occurrence of the word them. We have a number of projects here in my lab, and they run quite a wide range of approaches. Some of them look at things like how AI and big data affect democracy. Some of them look at things like food manufacturing and how we can bring a cultural dimension to the technologies behind that. But we also have one really important project looking at computational literary studies and how we can better build the kinds of infrastructures that both literary researchers, but also people who work with narratives and work with stories, can access the literature of the ages.
So tell us what computational literary studies are. Where do they come from as a discipline?
Well, they kind of are sort of what they sound like they are. It's about doing literary studies, which we've done for hundreds, if not thousands of years, using, well, our ability to read. But now what we can do is we can read not just in the old tried and true way, but we can also read different ways using software. So we can look for particular patterns, particular words, particular grammatical structures, and we can use that to ask different kinds of questions and sometimes come up with different kinds of answers about the literature of the past and the present. So the field actually goes back to the 1940s. We have a founding father who was a Jesuit priest who wanted to actually be able to build a better index of the works of Thomas Aquinas. So that goes back a very long way. But between then and now, you'd see a lot of work coming from examples like in computational linguistics, where you'd have people interested in specific words. And that gradually made its way out of linguistics and into literary studies, where we're actually interested more in sort of the big picture and the wider level patterns of narrative and dialogue and character development and plot. So you can really see how it has very, very deep roots back almost, you know, not quite all the way to the beginnings of the history of computing, but but quite early on, and then brings us quite into the present, where we're seeing it become a much more accepted and consolidated part of most or many literary scholars' ways of approaching their work.
In this 1940s example, what kind of technologies enlisted? What's the project for the priest?
So Father Busso, when he brought his project to IBM, he really wanted to say, I want to see, you know, what is kind of almost like a concordance, what they would have been, you know, creating handmade concordances of Shakespeare going back, you know, almost as long as there was Shakespeare. So what he wanted to do is find a more effective and faster way of building that concordance so he could see what words were mentioned where. And that importance of what kinds of expressions exist in texts that we think are important are really at the kind of foundation of this approach to literary research.
When you say important, we're talking about quantitatively, that when there's a lot of some occurrence, we think it's important.
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. In fact, one of the first things we often have to do when we're doing this kind of research is take out a list of what we call stop words. Because for many researchers, the word a or I aren't that important. But if you have only one occurrence of a really significant word, we did a project on a novel in German where there was a couple of really distinctive compound words, you know, like the social something, that's one word in German. And the fact that that particular word was used in a particular case was really important for us, but we could see that that was an outlier. We could see that only occurred once, but we could see that there was something very specific about it. So sometimes we take out the little words, and sometimes the little words are actually what you want, because little words are often indicative of other kinds of things, like literary style. So it's really about how you work with your data, depending on what your research questions are.
You say it has long roots into the 1940s, but the current era in this kind of computational literary studies kind of coincides with the arrival of Google and the internet and big data.
Sure. And the big data aspect is really important for us because in most cases, look, you wouldn't do a computational approach on a single poem. If you can grasp it quickly with the eye, with the sort of the innate reading tools that we are kind of taught to have as children, you don't need anything bigger. But then when you have these collections of long novels and you want to start seeing patterns, you really have a different kind of, it's a different kind of question you want to ask when you're looking at thousands of novels instead of thousands of pages or even thousands of lines. So we can see how now that we can assemble large corpora of novels, large corpora of literary text, that's when we need the new tools to let us get the most out of them.
Jennifer Edmond of TCD there, and we'll paddle a little further out into computational literature next time on Culture File.